James is a book that hits you straight in the eyes. I've said it often. You read this book and listen to it, you'll come away with at least a bloody nose. It will hurt, but it sure will help. A lot of times the medicines that taste so bad or the shot that hurts so bad is that that does the greatest good. And our brother James is one of those that it hurts, but it hurts because we need the help. We're looking at the fact that he's saying, I think in my mind, that we need to support each other. The last chapter talks about supporting. It talks about, we need to support those who are suffering and those who are sick and those who are sinning. And we dealt with already the fact that we need to support those that are sinning because there's some that are struggling with self. Said back in verse 16 through 18, he talks about that person that comes and calls on the elders and asks them to pray for them and anoint them with oil. And the Bible says, and if they had sinned, which suggests they may have and may not have, but it also suggests that the possibility is there. Struggling with self, some who may have sinned, but in verse 19 and 20, he's still talking about supporting those who are in sin, but it's not someone who may have sinned, but it's someone who has sinned. So we're not only supposed to be supporting those that are struggling with self, but we need to support those that are satisfied with sin. There are some that's walking a guilty distance and satisfied to be there. I would have to say probably all of us fall in that category, at least to some degree. Content where we're at. Look in verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him. The last two verses deal with supporting those who have strayed. We need to recognize that. Verse 15 again says, if he hath committed sin. So he's admonishing us to recognize there are some in the midst who have strayed. And you need to support them. It's not the easiest thing to do, as we know, and as we'll see in just a minute. But we need to recognize the importance of standing with them, supporting them, not deserting them. One thing for sure, here's somebody who is definitely in sin of some sort. And he says you're not to take that lightly because sin destroys a guilty person. Sin is not to be taken lightly. Sin is a destroyer. And that person who is guilty, whoever they may be, are being destroyed by that sin. It's devouring them, not to take it lightly. But it's not only destroying that guilty person, it's discouraging those who care about him or her. Someone in sin is not in sin by themselves. Somebody somewhere cares for them. And when they see that person that they love not doing what pleases God, it hurts them, it discourages them, it gets them down. So there's no doubt sin does a lot of damage. It not only destroys the guilty person and discourages those who care about them, but it disgraces God. So he's saying, don't take sin lightly. If there's one there that has strayed or erred from the truth. Now, what he says right to begin with, brethren, you are a part of the family. You cannot discard them or should not. They are a part of the family. Notice what it says, if any of you, he's saying right there in the church, there's some who have walked away from God. So it is with our day. Some, even maybe in the church, still not right, not where they should be. And he's talking about those of the church. He says, any of you, it's the exact same word back in verse 13 where he says, if any among you be afflicted or any sick among you in verse 14. Same word of is among. He is saying right there in the church or connected to the church, there's some in sin. Don't take that lightly. He says, if some any of you do err, it means to roam or to wander, or as I've already said, it means to go astray, and it has with it the idea of being deceived. I'll tell you one thing. Anybody who lets sin get overwhelmed in their life and lets sin direct their lives is deceived, because we think we can get away with it. And we think it's going to be all right, but it isn't going to be all right. And James said, if anybody's there that's let sin get a hold of them, they've erred, they've wandered, they've strayed, don't take it lightly. They have been deceived by the devil, and they've been deceived by the flesh. And that's the idea of gradual. That's how it is. I talked to Brother Rick today after church, and one of the things we discussed without mentioning anybody's name is the fact of how the church is straying. And it's always been a gradual thing, a slow thing. So gradual you don't hardly notice it, but it is quite significant. And as it slowly but surely changes, it's so gradual you don't hardly notice the difference until one day you wake up and realize where you were and now where you are. And James said that's why it's so important that you who are still faithful, he's talking to the faithful people, and he says there's people among you who have erred from the faith. They have wandered away from the truth. Now, he could be talking about a lost person here, but I don't think that he is. Again, because he says, brethren, any among you, which could mean a lost person in the midst, there's no doubt. But he says he has erred from the truth, which tells me he used to be in the truth. You can't err from something you've never known or never been a part of, and this person has erred from the truth. I think he's talking about a Christian who has walked away or has cooled off, and I believe he's talking about restoration and not regeneration. I think he's talking about wayward saints and not wicked sinners. And he strays from the truth. Now, how in the world can you stray from the truth? We can stray from the truth in principle. And that's when you used to believe in the biblical principles, but now you don't so much. Things like the King James Version that now somehow the other versions are easier to read, and it's okay to endorse them. Things like good old-fashioned standards and Bible morality and eternal security and the forgiveness of sin by the blood of Christ, all these blessed book things that we believe. He says you can err from those things and get to where you don't believe what you used to believe. Somehow in this enlightened day, you have become enlightened. But James is saying, and so is God, you're not getting enlightened. You're getting further into darkness. We can err. We can wander in principle. We loosen our grip on Bible doctrine, and if we do, we're in danger. We not only can err in principle, we not only can wander or stray in principle, we can wander or stray in our position. And I mean by that moral standards, where it didn't used to be right, but now it is. And it used to be something God wasn't pleased with, but somehow now God approves it or okays it. We can lessen our standards, and if we do, I tell you, we're on a toboggan slide downward. That's why I so quickly and without hesitation talk about standards from time to time. And recommend, hopefully in a good way, that we keep our standards here. And that we don't let our morals slide. He said, you used to believe it and walk it, but now you're not. You've strayed. You've lessened your morality and your biblical standards and your godly lifestyle, and somehow you think now it's less important. But the problem is, the Word of God hasn't changed. We may, but it doesn't. And it still says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it still says, no man that warreth and tangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be his soldier. And it still says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous, godly, and godly in this present world. The world's falling apart. World's full of sin, but we aren't to be. He says, if there's any among you who have erred, we can err by principle. We can err by position. We also can err by practice. And I mean by that, used to really spend time with God. Used to love to pray and love the Bible and love church and love to meditate on the things of God, but somehow I just don't care about it quite as much. I don't spend as much time with the Lord. I don't spend as much time in prayer. I don't come to church hungry and wanting to get help from God. That's straying. That's erring from the truth. We can err by practice. Some that used to come early and pray. Some that used to make sure they were in the prayer room. Some that used to maybe sing in the choir. Some that maybe used to teach Sunday school. Some that used to do all these things that someone who is godly. Some that used to take the offering. Some that used to whatever. And now they don't. And it's not a physical issue, it's a spiritual issue. They have strayed, they have erred. And James said, if there's any among you like that, don't take it lightly. You who are still faithful, observe that, look at that, recognize that, and do something about it. He says, if any man among you do err from the truth, and used to be, you made the prayer request. Now you may be the prayer request. Notice what it says. If any convert him, don't get scared of that word. It does mean to turn back. It means to turn around. It means to change direction. It's found in Revelation 1:12 when John said, I turn to see. It's the same word. And James says that person who has turned away from God's will somehow needs to be enlightened to their condition where they can turn back and be converted. Jesus used it about Peter, when thou art converted. It can be used in talking about a lost person getting saved, of course, but it can also be used as a saved person getting right. And I think that's what James is saying here. Now I will sort of take up for them just a little bit. Considering the severity of their situation, the persecution of their day, it's no wonder some of them were straying. But James said, in spite of what you're going through, you still don't have an excuse to stray from God. If they don't have an excuse, neither do we. And by the way, if they didn't have an excuse to let those who had strayed go and discard them, neither do we. That's what he's talking about. He's talking to the faithful about those who have strayed. It's important to realize how important it is to stay faithful. And God uses human instruments to help human instruments. He uses the weak and flawed to help the weak and flawed. We're all in the same boat. We're all prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. But he says to you who are still faithful, care about those who are not. Care about those who have strayed. Verse 20, let him know that he which hath converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. He's talking to those who are still faithful. And he says, I want to encourage you to help those who aren't, those who are strayed. Let him know. Gives me some hope. Gives me some assurance. Let him know. In other words, there is hope for them. Sometimes it seems like they've gone so far and wandered so far and sometimes been so long in the far country. or been so long in that condition may still be in church, but their hearts are cold. They're not right. Their eyes are dead. Their hearts are empty. They're here, but they're not here. And sometimes for those who are still faithful, we can look at them as though it's a lost cause, what James said. And God says, no, it's not a lost cause. Let them know. Let them know. You can be assured when you're praying for them, God's going to hear. Our effort will not go unheeded. Our effort is not useless. God can turn them around, and God may use you to turn them around. And that's exactly what he's wanting to do, says James. Let him know that he which converteth a sinner. Again, the word converteth means to turn. Someone steps in. Who cares? And does something to help someone who has stepped out. He that converteth the sinner. He that does something to help. He the one that turns them back around. Yes, he uses the word sinner. But listen, we all are sinners. I know positionally we're not, but in practice we are. And I still believe it's talking about a Christian who is cold or strayed. I know this. If you doubt this, just watch a little bit. A Christian is capable of doing anything a lost person is able to do. A Christian is capable of doing anything a lost person is capable of doing. They just won't get away with it. James is talking here about people who have strayed. And he says, he that converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. I believe he's talking about the sin unto death. 1 John 5:16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. And I say unto him, I do not say that he shall pray for it. I believe with all my heart, I believe the Bible is clear. There are occasions when saints, saved people, have sinned so grievously or have sinned so long and have hardened to the voice of God where God finally says, okay, if you're not going to listen to me, I'll get rid of you. He takes them home early. I believe I've got some friends that I believe went to heaven. I know their testimony, I know the difference in their life after they made the profession. And I saw their lives get wild and wicked. And I saw them leave life at early age. Those I'm thinking about went out in very sad and dramatic ways. And I know the Bible says there is a sin unto death. And James said that person that you know may be heading in that direction. You need to care about them. He said, he that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. You may literally be saving their life by stepping into their life and trying to help them to get right. Well, I'm trying to get to my end to where I can make my point. What about Ananias and Sapphira? I believe that's a sin unto death. What about what David prayed in 2 Samuel 12:13? The Lord also hath put away thy sin, or Nathan about him, that the Lord hath also put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. The implication is if David hadn't gotten right and gotten forgiveness, he's heading to death. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep. He said there's some dead because they partook of communion in an unworthy manner. God chases his children, and if he has to, he'll take them home, but they don't listen. James said that you're thinking about, that I'm talking about, these people who have strayed, they're not playing games. It's serious. You could maybe be saving their life. Notice, and shall hide a multitude of sin. Jews were familiar about sin being covered. But he's saying you can help restore these people. You can help get them to forgiveness and restoration. Talking about forgiveness of their past sin, hiding a multitude of sin, there's no doubt. When they get right, all that sin's gone. Forgiven, gone under the blood. But I thought about this. It's not only that they'll be forgiven about the past sin and how they failed the Lord, but what about those all those sins they would have committed had they not gotten right? All those things in their future that was certainly coming, all those failures and all that sin, those things didn't happen because somebody helped this person to get right. I'm talking about it does make a difference. So what does that mean to us? I hope you're in the category of faithful. Because that's who James is talking about. I got to hurry. And I know I got to hurry because you're in a hurry. You may not realize it, but if I preach 40 more minutes, you'll be in a hurry. So it's time for me to hurry now. So what does that mean? James says to the faithful, there's people around you who aren't so faithful. To the stable, there's some around you not so stable. To the godly, there's some around you that's not so godly. To the hungry for God, there's some around you that don't really care. Some are out. Some are still in, but they're out. So what does that mean? To the faithful, saying, James says, we ought to be concerned. It ought to concern us that some around us are not right. It ought to burden us. It ought to break our heart. That somebody has strayed from God. Someone needs to care. Somebody ought to want to help them get restored. Abel said, am I my brother's keeper? And I say, yes, you are. And my brother's keeper, that word keeper, is like a keeper of the sheep, the shepherd. We are responsible for each other. We are responsible for our brothers and sisters in Christ. I am responsible for caring. I ought to be concerned. It ought to break my heart. Paul said, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It is our responsibility to care. So easy to be aggravated. So easy to see the damage they're doing. To get angry at how they're living, and we know they shouldn't, and they know they shouldn't, but they are. And so easy to get upset at them and mad at them and say, just let them go and suffer the consequences. But James said, no, you shouldn't be that way. It's the wrong attitude. We ought to be concerned. See, there's the inconvenience if we're concerned of praying for them, caring about them, talking to them if the Lord directs, helping them any way we can to get right. There's a time and the effort that we need to put into helping them. It's much easier to discard them. Just go on. Just forget it. They're off my back. I've turned them over to the Lord. Well, that may be real, and it may be a way of escape, an excuse we use. We need to recognize the importance of them being restored. Their sinful lifestyle doesn't matter. They're influencing somebody else to the same type of actions, and they're doing damage to themselves and damage to the cause of Christ and damage to the church. Somebody needs to be concerned about that enough to do something about it. James says, if you'll do that, God may just use you to help them. Faithful saints should be concerned. Faithful saints should be calling. Now, James doesn't spell it out here, but I promise you he's thinking about it. Praying, calling on the Lord on behalf of our wayward brother or sister in Christ. Being concerned. 1 Samuel 12:23 says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. He said, it would be a sin for me to stop praying for you. I say, amen, it is. Boy, we ought to be concerned. But we ought to be calling. If you want to help them, start calling on God. Start begging God to touch their heart before it gets worse. Before there's more damage. Before they're hurt further, their heart gets harder. Before somebody else follows their example. I promise you, nobody quits by themselves. Somebody else will quit with them. A faithful saint ought to be concerned about that straying brother or sister. Ought to be calling about that brother and sister. Calling on the Lord. A faithful servant ought to be, a faithful saint ought to be committed. I don't mean the White Coast. Most of us ought to go there for a while. But I mean committed to, they've strayed, but I'm not going to. They wandered, but I'm not going to. I want to be, I may be the only one in church that stays committed, but I want to stay committed. I want to stay sold out. If anybody sells out, I want it to be me. Because, hey, my godly lifestyle may be an influence on them. Not that I'm holier than thou or I think I'm better than them. My goodness, I'm as rotten as they are. I could do worse than them. But maybe my lifestyle of still being faithful will encourage them to see their need and help them get right. The faithful saints should be concerned, should be calling, should be committed. Faithful saints should be confronting. It may be that God wants you to talk to them. Now, you got to be careful about this. Not so careful that we're afraid to, and we don't. Not so careful that we're afraid we'll say the wrong thing. Now, we ought to be careful. But we may need to talk to them. God may use you and your words, your mouth, your heart to get them right. I'll tell you one thing. There's been some people that said some things to me since I've been saved that sure did help me. Sure did make a difference. And God may use you in talking to them. Jesus confronted Peter after he failed him, and his confrontation was direct but loving. And we need to be honest with them and upfront with them, but loving them. Not mean, not harsh, that's probably going to push them away, but caring. Who was it? Somebody today. Oh, I remember who it was. Jimmy Jones. Oh, my goodness, what a blessing that preacher is. Man, I love Jimmy Jones. He is a blessing. I don't know if you even know him. He pastors in Durham. And his testimony is this. Some man came up and witnessed to him, and he said tears ran down his cheeks while he was witnessing. And Jimmy says, that's what broke my heart. And that may be what God does through you to break the heart of that person who's wayward. I want to tell you, our church is like every other church. There's people who used to be here who ain't here. I say this, there's some people who are still here, but you ain't here. You're not here. Your heart's not here. Your burden's not here. You hadn't even hardly listened to anything that took place tonight. You didn't come involved. You just showed up. Now, I'm glad you showed up, but you need to show up, not just show up. So God may use you in confronting that person. The faithful, he's talking to the faithful saints. Talking about those who aren't. And what we who are faithful, hopefully we, should do about those who aren't. Faithful saints should be concerned and calling and committed and confronting and compassionate. It ought to break our heart. But listen, when they get right, we ought to be glad. It's not always easy to do that. Because some of us know the damage they've done. And we want to just say, God just hurt them a little bit. They deserve it. And he may. But like Paul said in 2 Corinthians about the man who was living with his stepmother, he's suffered enough. He's gotten forgiveness. He's repented. Now you accept him. Be compassionate. It could have been you. You may have been the one that went through the mire like they're in right now. When they get right, Paul said, the Lord said, I'm saying, James said, be accepted. Open your arms to them. Love them. They made a mess. Sure they did. But if the Lord can forgive them, we ought to be able to. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. There's times that forgiveness comes easily. We just forgive them, we're glad they're right. There's times it doesn't. Because we know where they've been, we know what they've done, we know the pain they've caused, but we're to be compassionate. God is, we ought to be. And then lastly, the faithful saints should be concerned, calling, committed, confronting, compassionate. The faithful saint ought to be careful. He is warning those who are still faithful, you may not be faithful in a little while. You better be careful. We're looking at those, says James, who have strayed, but you may be the next one. You may be the one that's called out in the prayer room the next time about how you're living and strayed. I tell you one thing, if we ever think we can't, we're in trouble. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Paul said, ye who restore the brethren, be careful. Oh my, we need to be careful because it may happen to us. It could happen to us. The writer of Hebrews says it like this, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any times we should let them slip. The Lord said to the church of Thyatira, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come, because anybody can let it slip. I already said, Brother Robinson said, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God of love. In your heart, there's a pulling away from the willing God. And boy, you need to be careful. I don't want to be the next one, but I may be. And I hope you don't want to be, but you may be. You may be further out than they are by next week. Your heart may be more hard than theirs. You may be more engrossed with sin than they are. James said to the faithful people, care about those that aren't. Care about them. Be careful. Be compassionate. Let yourself realize that you might be next. You may be the next victim. So James says, you who are in the church and faithful, or some who aren't, you need to care about them. You need to care about them. You need to call on the Lord. You need to be a light to these people, an encouragement to these people. You may need to go and talk to them or give them a call. There's a soldier's creed that says, I will never leave a fallen comrade. They go in danger. They go in the midst of the battle to rescue the fallen. And the Army does that, or the Marines do that. The Church of God should do that. We should care about those that are fallen, care about those that are strayed, and be committed to doing what we can. We should stop shooting our wounded and reach out to them and care. It's better to pray and encourage them and try and help them to turn around. And you know what? James goes, and he stops. He's got the Percy Ray mentality. Percy used to preach, and he'd be preaching wide open, and then just and walk off to the platform. Well, that's what James does. He ends abruptly, and I believe it's because he's wanting us to remember what he said. We've talked about suffering and scripture and subordination and speech and skill and supplication and separation and submission and stability and support. And the whole reason is to help us to grow, help us develop. Because it's time to grow up. And we've been babies too long. Well, let's stand together.